The Lord has given us a message this morning, kind of unusual. So I've written on the board, you are what you eat. And that is the message this morning. When we were little children, we were given films and exercise books and lessons on eating correctly. And at that time, they would have little slogans, and if you fill out the forms and write all the things you ate and participated well, you'd get a little sticker, and you are what you eat. That's what they were saying. And if you ate lots of bad things like chocolate and sugar and soda pop, and your teeth will rot out, and it will cause disease in your body, and you will be unhealthy. But if you eat healthy foods, you will maintain a good life, a healthy life. And so that was kind of drilled into our brains at a very young age. I'm thinking fifth or sixth grade, maybe. And I've thought about that often. You are what you eat. So I would always imagine if you ate a fish, then you look like a fish. Or if you ate a lollipop, you look like a lollipop. Because it says you are what you eat, but that's not what that was meaning. It was meaning that when you ingest something, your body starts to break it down. Your saliva starts to break it down. Then your digestive system pulls it into little parts that your body can use. And if it's not something their body can use, then it becomes a disease to your body. It causes your body to overreact in certain ways. Like the pancreas can't build enough insulin for your body to take it over the sugar. So if you've had too much sugar, then you develop a diabetes condition. If you have just different things that can affect your body. And so for many years, I have struggled, but in my mind, I've often questioned, Lord, what did you mean by don't eat things that are sacrificed to idols? And it seems like the Lord has opened that up to us today. So I'd like to share that with you. So I'm going to tell you, this is not a lesson on physical health. This is a lesson on mental health. You are what you eat mentally. What do you feed your mind? What are you allowing your mind to think on? What are you giving it? So I want to start out with that scripture that was such a mystery to me. And it's in Revelations, the second chapter. So keep in mind, you are what you eat. Revelation, the second chapter, and the 14th verse. This is concerning the churches. It says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And it goes further down into this chapter to say almost the same thing. In the 20th verse it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I'm not going to say here that I understand completely all of that means, but I will say when you start partaking of the things that were sacrificed to idols, if you look into the idolatry worship, it was carnal. It was demonic. It was completely immoral. If you ever look into that, and when they would sacrifice things, and when you start eating those things that are sacrificed, your body starts taking in those elements. You have just fed your mind those elements. Your mind is now digesting those elements of fornication, of immorality, of demonic practices, and your mind is digesting it, and it's starting to affect you. Does that make sense at all? And it said to not do that. It said don't participate in those things. And the reason is because it will give you disease. It will give you plagues. It will cause your body to, it could be death to you. It could be poison. So I'd like to go on to 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. 2 Corinthians 6. and 16. So once again, what are you feeding your mind? Because whatever you're feeding your mind is swallowing it. Your mind is chewing on that. Your mind is digesting that. And it affects your mind. It really does. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 16th verse. And it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now, what is the temple of God? Is it a physical building somewhere? What did they compare? What does the Bible compare the temple of God to? Our body. Our body. We were not to participate in those things. That would be a sin against our body. And that includes our mental abilities, our mental thinking, our mental capacity. "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So what it's saying here, when you touch those things that are not clean, it defiles your mind. And those thinking, those thought patterns develop into something unclean. It develops into something eventually poisonous, eventually death. So what is in your temple? What have you fed your mind lately? What have you looked at? What have you listened to? What have you followed the thought pattern of? And if you will, go with me to Colossians, the 2nd chapter. And it's just a brief little verse. But it says something here that it's good for us. It is good for us. It says, "Touch not, taste not, handle not." Colossians 2 and 21. Don't even go there. And there are so many temptations that we have now by the push of a button or the brush of a screen. But touch not that thing. Don't taste it. Don't handle it. Because what you've done is you've put something in your mind now that it's digesting, that it's participating in, that it's collecting any nutrients from, if there is any, or the poison from it. So I want you to think about in terms of years ago, we had a standard, and I believe it's still, for the most part, there was introduced an electrical box that you could put in your home, and it had moving pictures on it. And there were some things on there that were entertainment and perhaps wholesome. Not sure about that. It didn't take long for it to turn into something foolish, okay? A lot of foolish things that were presented on that particular thing. So the old timers, the old saints of God said, we just don't need to have those in our home. And by doing that, do you realize we prevented a lot of mental distress? I thank the Lord for that. That's a protection. It really is. And it's a blessedness. And I'm thankful for it. So wholesome things, vegetables, meat, milk, eggs, those things that are proper in your diet. There is a proper mental diet, too. A proper thing to feed your mind on. That your body can get the nutrients from. Foolish things. I think of the candy, the soda pop. There are foolish things of this world that are not necessarily poisonous. But I will say, your mind can go there a lot. And you've wasted the time. So when they used to have little children that used to play outside, now they're all gathered in around the box. Because they don't have time. And they've wasted their time. And if you think about the hours spent in front of that box, if you will say. It's a time waster. if you drink or eat too much of those things, what does it cause to your body? It's disease prone. It causes things to happen within your body that cannot function properly. But what would happen if in this cup here, instead of water that's in here, there was bleach and I drank it? What would happen to my body? It would probably kill me because it's poison and we don't naturally drink bleach. We just do not do that. It doesn't smell good. We know it's dangerous. There's a skull and crossbones warning for us, so we know not to ingest those things. But now we have the box that has poison in it now. It's not just foolish things. You flip through hundreds of opportunities, and some of them are actual poison. So what does that do to your mind? It's poisonous there too, and it can be deadly. So, we now have, that's not really even thought about too much, but we have a handheld device now. And you know what? It's a necessary thing in the life that we live now. If you don't think so, leave it at home and try to go to town without it. It's a frustration for everybody. They can't get a hold of you. Oh, mom left her phone at home, which is a common problem at our house. Can't get a hold of mom. Is mom okay? Where is mom? She left her phone at the house. Okay? But on that device are many wholesome things. How do you take care of New Guinean patients? I need help on that. And you can find it right away. How do you make a chocolate cake with buttermilk in it? You can find a recipe right away. There are so many helpful, useful things. And we can do things with our family. The communication is very open now, at least on that device. Now, I don't know. You go into an airport, there used to be lots of conversation, and now people are stuck on this thing. I'm thinking, it looks like a bunch of adults with pacifiers in their mouth. It's kind of hilarious. But anyway, what has happened is it's the world we live in. It is, isn't it? And I realize that. And to say that we are not to have that would be completely incorrect because it's the society and world that we live in. But there is a danger there. There are things on there that are foolish. They're just plain old foolish. And what... Have you ever sat in some place and partaken of those foolish things and looked up and 3 hours have passed? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Because I was wasting my time. And you know, that's not really a good habit to fall into. And this thing has also the bleach in it. It has poisonous places you can go. But I want to tell you that the Lord said to don't eat of those things sacrificed to idols. Don't participate. You have the opportunity to shut it down. You have the opportunity not even to go there to begin with. But sometimes there are things that will flash up, but you can get rid of it quickly. What are you feeding your mind on? So I'm here to say it is a challenge to us because we live. The Lord didn't say to take them out of the world because he's going to do that later when we live with him forever. But while we are here, he said, I wanted you to be in this world, but I don't want you to be of this world. And their in and the of is the difference. And we can be in this world. And I believe fully that we can be completely within this world and not be of it. And I believe the Lord can give us the wisdom to know how to not be of it. And one of those is that exercise that I said, don't go there. If it said touch not, taste not, handle not, then don't go there. Just don't. There's a skull and crossbones on it. Or if anything else, it's a time waster. Those things that are useful and wholesome, it's not going to hurt on that at all. But I want to go to 2 Corinthians, because the Lord knew that this salvation is for all places, all times, all cultures, all societies, and it wasn't just for, what year would have this been? 100 A.D. Salvation wasn't just for that year. Salvation is, I cringe a little bit when they sing the song, "Give me that old time religion," because it's not old time. It is all time religion. Because they're saying, well, if it was good for Paul and Silas, then it's just good enough for me. And that irks me just a little bit, because it was more than good. It was salvation. It is awesome. It is wonderful. I want it for everyone in this world, everyone I come in contact with. If it was, it's wonderful in 100 AD, it is still wonderful in 2019. Do you realize? That's 1900 years ago. But it still works for us. It's still wonderful for us. And we look into the Word of God and it can apply to daily, our daily lives. And I thank the Lord for that. And we look at the intelligence that we have now, and it is great. I understand that. But we serve a God who's even greater than that. So He had prepared our way for us. And He knows that we are in this place now. And He gave us Scripture to help out with that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, and it says, "Casting down imaginations, superficial ideas." He said to cast them down. And He tells you why. "And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Do we have a lot of ideas that are high-minded against the knowledge of God? Very many. But are you feeding your mind on that? And if so, cast it down. "Bring it into the captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's why it said, what is in your temple? Is there a foe in your temple that needs to be subdued? Brought into the obedience of Christ. I maybe have gone somewhere I shouldn't have gone, but I won't anymore. And I'm going to take care of that. And I'm going to make my habits better. I'm going to cast down those imaginations that just boil in my mind over and over again. Because unfortunately, I have found if there's something that you visually see, the devil has every right to bring it back to you over and over again. The blood can cover it. The blood can forgive it. But he can bring a recall button just in an instant. That's how powerful a visual is. That's why we must be careful of that we taste not, touch not, handle not. And there was a reason for that. And it says that we would bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then in Romans, it gave another reprimand or a piece of advice. And it's through all of the Scriptures. And I'm thankful for it, because it is so new. It is so beautiful. It is so awesome. Romans 12 and 2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And you can just put the little number 2019 right here. Because it is for this day and time. You can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God right here, right now. And He can help you by transforming your mind. And I appreciate that. I live in this world too, so I am tempted. And I need prayer. So I ask that you would pray for me. And I'll pray for you too, that we be in this world but not of this world. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I desire you pray for me.